Good morning. First of all, I want to thank Mike for asking me to fill in his place while he's out preaching the word. And I want to thank the elders for also letting me step up here and preach the word as well. And this morning's lesson that I'm going to be preaching on is faith in the family. As Christians, we're privileged to be members of God's family. And with God as our Father in heaven, with Christ as our elder brother, and with many fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, and brothers and sisters. In Mark 10, 29 through 30. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." So even so, we also have duties as members of our human families. We have duties as husbands and wives, as parents and children, and as married and as single. So what impact should our faith as Christians have on our physical families? What are our responsibilities as Christians who are blessed with familial relationships? Let's consider first the Christian as husband and father. First, we're going to talk about the duties of a husband. Husbands are to love their wives, in Ephesians 5, 25 through 29. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own body. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. You know, we need to love our wives, as it says, just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her. And also, as our own bodies, we need to nourish and cherish them. Yeah. Also, another duty we have as husbands, that we are to leave our mother and father. In Ephesians 5:31, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." We are to leave our parents and be joined to one's wife. And the husband, therefore, gives his wife priority over his parents. And husbands are not to be bitter towards their wives. In Colossians 3:19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them." Also in the English Standard Version, it says, "Do not be harsh with them." And husbands are to be understanding and give honor to their wives. In 1 Peter 3:7, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." So we need to understand their delicate nature, and we need to honor them as heirs together of the grace of life. Next, let's talk about duties of the father. And we are to provide the necessities of life. In 2 Corinthians 12:14, "Here, for this third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children." And also in 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So parents ought to provide for their own children. They ought to want to provide for their own children. And a man who fails to do so is worse than an unbeliever. And we as fathers are not to provoke our children to wrath. In Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Also in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. And this is by unreasonable commands,
by needless severity, and by manifestation of anger. And also by your continually finding fault with them, they should lose all courage and despair of ever pleasing you. And we are also to provide for spiritual training of the children, as that we just read in Ephesians 6:4. We are to provide loving discipline as necessary as well. In Hebrews 12:6-11. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Also in Proverbs 13:24, it says, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. So we need to provide discipline, even as our Heavenly Father disciplines his children. And we need to provide it even though it may be unpleasant at the moment. And such are familiar responsibilities of Christians, of Christian men as husbands and fathers. Now let's consider the Christian as wife and mother. Now we're going to talk about the Christian as wife and mother. Duties of the wife. Wives are to submit to their husbands. Ephesians 5:22-24. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. And also in Colossians 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And another verse is 1 Peter 3:1-2. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Wives are to respect and love their husbands. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Also in Titus 2:4. So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Wives are not just to submit, but to do so with respect and love for their husbands. And older women should also teach the younger women how to love their husbands by example. Next, we're going to talk about the duties of a mother. One duty is to love their children. And Titus 2:4, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, which is ought to be natural. And yet, sin can lead to a lack of proper affection. Duties of a mother are also to manage the household. In Titus 2:5, it says, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. You know, even though, even a woman also, they can engage in activities outside of the home. As it says in Proverbs 31:10-31, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her work praise her in the gates. Also, they are to provide spiritual training when male leadership is lacking. And 2 Timothy 1:5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. In Acts 16:1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy's mother and grandmother were believers. Evidently, his father was not, which is too often the case today. So such are the duties of Christian women as wives and mothers. Next, let's take a look at the Christian as a child and single. First, we're going to talk about duties of children. They are to obey their parents in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In Colossians 3:20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. When children obey their parents, it is well-pleasing to the Lord. And children are also to honor their parents. In Ephesians 6:2-3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. In Ephesians 20:12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And also, they are to honor their parents by providing for their welfare in the later years. In 1 Timothy 5:8-16. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family, and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. Next, we're going to talk about the duties of the single Christian. And they are to utilize the advantage of being single. 1 Corinthians 7:32-35. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for you, for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. So you can use your freedom to increase your service to God. And don't be selfish with the extra time and freedom that you have. And don't begrudge others who may not do as much as you because of their own responsibilities, such as they have children, they're married. And also, you need to watch out for the dangers of being single. In Ecclesiastes 4:9-11. Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? So you'll have temptation, and you need to make an effort to develop a close relationship with the Lord. You'll be lonely. You You need to accept invitation to be with others. Initiate opportunities to be with others. You maybe have self-centeredness. You need to offer yourself in service to others and be flexible. You're also to remember that you are in the family of God. In Mark 10:29-30. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life." So you have many mothers, many fathers, brothers, sisters, children. And make the effort to develop and utilize these relationships. And finally, some remarks regarding discipleship as it relates to our familial relationships. We need to put the Lord before our family. Of course, we are to love our parents, spouses, and children, yet our love for the Lord must come first. In Matthew 10:34-37, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Otherwise, we are not worthy to be called his disciple if we don't put him first. And only then will Jesus view us as members of his family. We also, and by putting God and his kingdom first, our families will benefit more. In Matthew 6:33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." God's providence will help provide for our family's needs. We will also be better parents, spouses, and children by following Jesus. Presenting the Lord to the family. We need to do that by way of example. In 1 Peter 3:1-2. "In the same way, you wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior." So wives were to influence their unbelieving husbands, so we can influence their other unbelieving members of the family. We are also to present the Lord by way of instruction in Ephesians 6:4. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So fathers, we are to instruct our children so we can teach other members of the family as well. So in conclusion, the nuclear family is a wonderful blessing. It is intended by God to consist of husbands and wives who love and respect each other, parents who love and discipline their children, and children who honor and obey their parents. As Christians, our familial duties are clear. Whether it's husbands or wives, whether it's parents or children, whether it's married or single. And may our faith in Christ lead us to be the best spouses and parents, the best children and singles we possibly can be. So now is a time that you need to really consider joining the family of God if you haven't already. And if you don't know what to do, then here are the steps you need to follow. First, you must hear the gospel, and you must believe it. You must repent of past sins and confess Jesus. Your faith in Jesus Christ, then you must be baptized and then remain faithful until death. Maybe you're already a Christian and have fallen back into the world. God will happily take you back into his kingdom as long as you ask for his forgiveness and repent. So why don't you consider joining or rejoining God's family as together we stand and sing.